This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, May 18, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling in for Joe Bilecki. In local news, a first-of-its-kind childcare center in Grand Rapids Central Station is aiming to reduce the commute for working parents. WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us how the new YMCA childcare center may set a national trend.
You're using our city transportation system and you're taking the bus in and you have to go to work or school or somewhere else and you have childcare to drop off. Let's reduce that time.
Heather Walcheski is executive director of childcare at the YMCA. She says the new $9 million childcare center being built within the Rapid Central Station in downtown Grand Rapids will be the first of its kind in the nation.
It could reduce for some families about 45 minutes one way just to take out a transit or another ride that they have to do. And so by reducing that time, it allows them to adjust their schedules. They're already going to be there, so let's just make it easier for them.
The center will accommodate 100 children from birth to 5 years old, with more space available during summer months. City officials say there is a deficit of 7,300 early childcare spaces in Grand Rapids. Walcheski hopes the new center inspires other communities to consider using what already exists rather than building new.
People can look at us around our state, around the country, as the model that works and replicated in their community somewhere.
The W.K. Kellogg Foundation provided $3.5 million for the project. I'm David Limbaugh.
Data shows new HIV cases in Michigan are rising amongst heterosexual individuals. WGVU's Dee Morrison introduces us to a local LGBTQ+ health leader seeking to bring HIV prevention into primary care for all communities.
The main thought is still in 2026 that HIV is only in the LGBT community. And that hasn't been accurate for many, many years.
LGBTQ+ Healthcare Consortium Executive Director Jenny Knight says there are more people contracting HIV now that are not part of the LGBT community.
The assumptions that it's a queer disease, but it's in all communities now.
The consortium is launching its Good Vibes Education Project, focused on HIV prevention, aiming in part to dismantle decades-old stigmas and current misperceptions.
Within the LGBT community, there's been a lot of education, and there's a lot of talk about it very openly. But in the cisgender heterosexual community, we just don't talk about it as much, including in primary care, which is where prevention should happen.
Knight notes that Black and brown populations are also seeing an increase. Good Vibes is partnering with other organizations sharing prevention materials and online education.
Because the LGBT community has so much knowledge and history around HIV, it's really a privilege for us to be able to share this with others.
I'm Dee Morrison.
The Grand Rapids Public School District is planning to sell 10 buildings they no longer use or need. WGVU's Phil Dawson reports they have potential buyers for two of them, Stocking and Alexander Elementaries.
We were really happy with the proposals we received at both sites.
At the former Alexander Elementary School, GRPS Communications Director Luke Steyer says a committee recommends the district accept a $1 million bid from LifeQuest Urban Outreach.
$1 million purchase for community-centered nonprofit campus. No financing needed.
And at the former Stocking Elementary, Steyer says the West Grand Neighborhood Organization is offering $850,000 to create a new community hub.
There is strong support in the community for this proposal.
LifeQuest senior pastor Jerry Bishop says they plan 10 residential units and after-school programs at Alexander Elementary.
Partner with GRPS for after-school programming in the gymnasium as a safe meeting space.
And at Stocking Elementary, West Grand Executive Director Annette Vandenberg says the donors of the land always intended it to be a community resource.
Stocking land was actually donated to the GRPS by Billy S. Stocking. He always meant that it would be to serve the community good.
Next month, the Board of Education is expected to vote on the sale of the Stocking and Alexander schools and begin considering offers for two more buildings.
Looking for new uses for our former school sites.
I'm Phil Dawson.
Bipartisan legislation introduced Wednesday, co-sponsored by a West Michigan state senator, makes behavioral health transportation a Medicaid-covered service. WGVU's Patrick Center has the details.
Imagine you're experiencing a mental health crisis, or you're in the hospital and need to be transported to a behavioral health facility. Your options are limited, especially if you have Medicaid.
State Senator Mark Huizenga, Republican from Walker, along with Democratic Senator Sylvia Santana from Detroit and Democratic State Representative Amos O'Neill from Saginaw and Republican State Representative Steve Frisbee from Penfield, who's a paramedic with four decades of experience, say they have a bipartisan solution solving a critical problem.
There's a finite number of ambulances available every day, and those are not designed to be driving from Battle Creek to Indianapolis for a patient.
Removing ambulance service for other medical emergencies. The recommendation is to add mental and behavioral health specific transportation, including safety and security features and trained staff. This would increase EMS availability. The bills would also reduce emergency department overcrowding and expand Medicaid coverage for those qualifying for behavioral health services. The lawmakers say this is a more cost-effective system, providing patient dignity and expanding medical resources. I'm Patrick Center.
The Trump administration has issued another order keeping the J.H. Campbell Electricity Plant in West Michigan open. Consumers Energy originally planned to phase out the coal-fired power plant starting last year, but the Trump administration argued the nation is in an energy emergency, and the Department of Energy issued a 90-day order to keep the plant operating. The department has renewed that order every 90 days since. Consumers Energy said in its latest earnings report that keeping J.H. Campbell open has cost $180 million through this March. And the entire staff at a West Michigan hospital is celebrating the birthday of one of its volunteers. As WGVU's Dee Morrison reports, he's a 99-year-old Navy veteran still serving his community.
U of M Health West co-workers are not going to make Pete Zimmer blow out 99 candles on his enormous birthday cake. But they do want to celebrate him, says volunteer and guest services manager Jennifer DeVries.
Because how often do you turn 99, you know? And to be as involved as what he is, we just absolutely adore him.
Zimmer spent his life serving others, first in the Navy during World War II and the Korean War, and since 2017 as a hospital volunteer. He's logged more than 2,000 hours.
You'll often see Pete wandering through the halls with his clipboard. He's always looking for safety issues. There might be something that looks broken, might be a stained ceiling tile.
After his wife died, Pete moved to Byron Center to live with his daughter Joy and her family. The two now work together in volunteer services. She was with staff who threw him a birthday party, thanking him for a lifetime of service to his country and his community.
We just all hope that we are like Pete when we're 99, or if we get to 99.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you, everybody.
I'm Dee Morrison.
This is Focus West Michigan. In a moment, WGVU's Shelley Irwin speaks with Mallory Patterson about My School Story. In state news, Governor Gretchen Whitmer and the state legislature will have a little more money than initially expected to put together the next state budget. But there is still a $1 billion gap to be dealt with to adopt a balanced budget this summer. Rick Pluta reports.
A panel that includes the state treasurer and House and Senate fiscal experts approved the official revenue numbers at its second meeting of the year. The improved numbers are still not enough to plug a $1 billion budget hole, says Michigan Budget Director Jen Flood.
We know there's some tough decisions ahead, but we've done hard things in the past and we can do them again this year.
While these revenue numbers and the economic projections behind them are not a surprise, they come with significant uncertainty surrounding the direction of the economy. That includes how long it takes to resolve the military conflict with Iran. I'm Rick Pluta.
The widespread flooding in northern Michigan this year may force state lawmakers to allow additional snow days. State law requires districts to be in session for 180 days per year, but the state house passed a bill late last week to allow for an additional 4 days of missed school. The bill would apply mostly to northern Michigan counties affected by heavy snow and flooding. The bill would also apply to Oakland County, where a water main break forced schools to close earlier this month. And bills introduced in the state house would amend Michigan's auto no-fault law. The law set medical reimbursement rates so low that rehab centers lose money treating crash victims with brain and spinal cord injuries. So those people are often turned away. That's even when the injured people pay for so-called lifetime medical coverage for their policies. The bill would boost reimbursement rates to cover the cost of treatment. The Insurance Alliance of Michigan say the bills would raise car insurance rates. And that is state and West Michigan news here on Focus West Michigan from WGVU. I'm Rick Bierling. A new statewide initiative invites Michigan public schools to share their experiences and perspectives through short video storytelling with My School Story. WGBU's Shelley Irwin speaks with Mallory Patterson about the project, part of the Mosaic Film Experience.
A new statewide initiative is inviting Michigan public school students to share their experiences and perspectives through short-form video storytelling. So My School Story is a digital storytelling campaign created by Mosaic Film Experience. We'll let my next guest talk about it. Thank you to Steelcase Foundation for the partnership. So I bring you in, I call you a friend, Mallory Patterson. Boy, we have some history with KLA and more, but that's a whole another conversation. I miss you. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. I want to get right into what my school story is and how it came together.
Yes. It's my MI school story, but we would love for people to own it. My school story, right? And it is a statewide student storytelling initiative. We are encouraging students to create 30 to 60 second vertical videos made for socials. Answering one central question, which is, what's your powerful public school story? Students 13 to 18 are encouraged to submit. The goal is really just to elevate authentic student voices, real experiences through reflection, through, you know, their storytelling skills that they have. It's purposefully designed to be accessible and easy to participate in. Videos don't need to be polished, and we are collecting these stories over time. We'll have rolling submission deadlines for chances to win prizes, with our first deadline being May 31.
Why is it important to center this project around students telling their own stories, Mallory?
You know very much that student voice is near and dear to my heart, but the truth is students are often talked about but not heard directly. And so that usually leads to decisions being made for them and not with them. So this campaign is really focused on their lived experience in the public school experience. You know, young people are powerful storytellers and they have a lot to say. And so the Mosaic Film Experience really just tries to give them a platform. And MI School Story is just focused on their public school experiences. You know, students often notice things that adults may overlook. And they also come with this beautiful authenticity that I think is really important for adults to hear.
Mallory, let's talk about the kinds of stories or experiencing that you're, well, encouraging at this point.
So while we want to hear any and all stories about students' experiences, we are really focused around access, achievement, and community. So these are things like extracurricular activities, academic achievement, mentors and teachers that students have really connected with, community and belonging, opportunity and support systems, programs that students have connected with or have created opportunities or maybe shifted their trajectories. The stories can be big or small. You know, it could be like, I had this really meaningful experience to this thing changed my whole life. And so we just really want those personal moments that often resonate the most, and there's no like single right type of story. We just want to hear the diversity of experiences from students across the state, you know, to show where students find joy and meaning, what's great about their experience in public education, and just what it's like to be in school.
This project feels aligned with Mosaic Film Experience's mission. How does it connect to the organization's broader work?
Yes. So the Mosaic Film Experience is totally focused on young people and elevating their voices. Mosaic uses storytelling to build creativity, collaboration, and critical thinking for career preparedness. So a lot of the work that we do, from summer programs to after school and in school programs, really focuses on using storytelling to build transferable skills across a variety of potential careers. We've served more than 50,000 students, and this will be year 15 for us. And we're just really focused on helping young people find and use their voice.
You are encouraging short form video and social media as the format. Tell me more here.
You know, a lot of time we do intensive workshops and, you know, we help students really work through a storytelling process. But for this, we just want students to work on that 30 to 60 second range video, turn the camera around on you, maybe capture a little B-roll to throw in there to illustrate your story. But we just really want the stories, and they will be hosted on our website and YouTube page and shared with people who are advancing policy and having conversations around public education. But we just really want students to be a part of that conversation. And so we are working to create an archive collect these stories.
And it's called a living archive of student voices. What's that mean?
It just means that it's not static. It means we want to keep collecting these stories, and we want to add it and just have it be something that isn't just in a folder somewhere. It's accessible to the public. It's accessible to students to, you know, see what other students are experiencing. And it's accessible to adults to go in there and listen and hopefully get, you know, some perspective.
It's a new statewide initiative inviting Michigan public school students to share their experiences, perspectives through these short form video storytelling, My School Story. We all have one, and Mosaic Film Experience, Mallory Patterson, strong in reminding us to just do it. Tell me more about what you hope educators, parents, and communities take away from these videos.
I hope that they understand that students have important voices and their lived experiences are often really thought out. You know, they have an experience and they have thoughts, and those thoughts should be heard. And so we're just encouraging parents and educators to have the young people in their lives participate in this project, but also then go check out that living archive and listen to what students are saying and share that perspective with others and see how it can maybe change the conversation. Students, again, are encouraged to submit those videos either through the website, or you can just go straight to any of our My School Story social media pages and just use our hashtag My School Story or tag us at My School Story.
Yes, and we're looking at 30 to 60 seconds, so it's not a documentary.
Correct.
And you're submitting through the website or social media?
Correct. And our website is mischoolstory.org.
What if a student's thinking, I don't have professional equipment?
We do not need that. It's intentionally made to be accessible. It's designed that way. You don't need any experience to participate in this project. And every video that is submitted is entered to win a prize. And so we're just really encouraging students to get on the site, go to our social media. There are some stories that already exist there if you want to take a look and kind of see how the students who are already participating have told their stories and just add to the collection.
This is the first initiative of My School Story.
Correct. Yes. Yep. We are just launching it. We have our first rolling submission deadline for May 31, but we're going to continue to collect stories throughout the summer and into the new school year.
What do the kids get from this?
Students don't always take a second to sit and reflect on school. They kind of often just show up and get through the day. But I think it's an important moment of reflection for our young people to sit with this idea of, you know, what is my lived experience in public education, and just share some of the wins that they have and some of the people that maybe meant a lot to them. And hopefully they find community in this when they go check out the archive.
All right. One more time. How do I find out more information?
mischoolstory.org.
All right, Mallory Patterson, back to work. You've got a May 31 deadline.
Thank you.
Take care to you.
WGBU's Shelley Irwin with Mallory Patterson of the Mosaic Film Experience talking about My School Story. That is Focus West Michigan for Monday, May 18, 2026. I'm Rick Bierling. Patrick Center is WGBU's News and Public Affairs Director. We'll see you tomorrow.